Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Ford starts battery production in Cologne. The truckmaker MAN starts their mass production and the European van market hots up. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you why Australian Tesla owners are following the French. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Tuesday, 17th of June. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Patreon supporters can get the shows ad-free, and they get to support the show being put on the air every single day, because without them, it wouldn't be here. Now, there's no pressure, you haven't got to, but you're welcome to have a look at the Patreon page. Ford is now assembling battery packs at their Cologne plant for their all-electric vehicles in Europe. Now, we get the Explorer, which is not like the Explorer that my American listeners might have in their head, and the Capri, which is nothing like the Capri that my older listeners might have in their head. It's nothing like a 70s or 80s Capri, but previously, these high-voltage batteries were supplied by Škoda in the Czech Republic. Both vehicles, of course, are based on Volkswagen's MEB platform. Do not call the Ford Explorer a reskinned VW ID4, or the Capri a reskinned VW ID5. I mean, they have similarities, a shared drivetrain, parts, battery design, etc. Well, the Cologne facility produces three battery sizes, either a 52, a 77, or a 79 kilowatt hour battery. This change follows an upgrade, a $2 billion upgrade of the former engine plant. Now, the factory combines battery and vehicle assembly under one roof. Now, that's important because it improves logistics, it cuts transport emissions, and it keeps quality standards high. Ford's move supports what they say is the factory of the future, which focuses on building electric vehicles local, in-house with battery production on site. The new process uses 180 robots to weld, glue and bolt every battery pack together. Each unit up to 12 modules and about 2,775 different parts assembled on an automated line which is 2 kilometres long. Now, this transformation reflects an industry trend toward making batteries as close as possible to where the vehicles are actually made to make your supply chain more reliable and adapt to the challenges. The vehicles themselves are not massive sellers yet, but I really like both of them. Now, of course, Ford went with the Capri and naturally went with lots of references to that famous Capri name. I think it would have been better if they'd simply said, we're reusing the nameplate. You know, Capri's a famous name because the new Capri is nothing like the old Capri, and they kind of promised that it would be. And bizarrely, they released what was quite a good EV to largely negative reviews because everyone went, well, it's nothing like a Capri. And maybe that was a misjudgment, possibly a misstep. It's a famous name that they've used. Lots of love for the old Capri. The Explorer itself as well, a nice EV. I don't see enough of them around. Hopefully their sales in 2025 get a bit of a bump. MAN Truck and Bus are next in the news, beginning their large-scale production of pure BEV heavy trucks at their Munich plant. It's Europe's first fully integrated line making both diesel and electric trucks. The company plans to deliver over 1,000 e-trucks by the end of the year. A historic moment, they say, noting a €400 million investment to electrify the lines. Now, the Munich plant can build up to 100 trucks a day, each taking around 8 hours to assemble. More than 5,000 workers have been specially trained in the new high-voltage systems. MAN assembles the battery packs for their e-trucks and their buses at their Nuremberg site. The e-truck line includes different models, the ETGX, ETGS, ETGL, which uses the same platforms as their diesel versions. You can get them up to 400 kilowatts and up to 534 kilowatt hour packs. That gives you 311 miles of range per charge. And what with the various rules and regs on how far and how long you can drive heavy-duty vehicles in Europe, that is more than enough. You don't even really need mega, mega, mega fast charging because drivers have to take a break. So long as you can charge while you're taking a break, then largely the infrastructure that's out there at the minute seems to be working pretty well. Now, let's talk about European vans. The commercial vehicle arm of a Chinese company, there's a state-owned Chinese company called GAC, right? And the commercial bit of that's called Morocco Motor. They say that they're going to enter the European van market this year and they want a 10% share. Well, that's nice for them, but how are they going to do it? They said that Morocco's goal is 170,000 vans sold annually in Europe, where over 1.7 million vans are sold each year. We don't really have truck culture over here, like my American friends have truck culture. We have van culture. And my Aussie friends have ute culture. You have utes for doing a job? Well, we don't do that. We've filled in the back of it with panels, and we have vans. I don't know, more secure or something. Everyone just nick stuff more over here. I don't know, but either way, vans are a thing in the way that trucks aren't, and we sell a lot of them. I mean, a lot of vans. The company's first European van will have 217 miles of range, they say. Self-driving features to be a robo-taxi. This all sounds too good to be true. Unlike passenger EVs in China, which face up to 45% EU tariffs, Chinese commercial vehicles don't have any extra tariffs. And so Morocco is saying that they will team up with European makers to bring vans over here without tariffs. We'll wait and see. It's a potentially very exciting announcement. Now, let's talk about orders for the XPeng G6 and G9 electric vehicles in Europe. We'll start in the second half of July. So the G6 and the G9 electric SUVs on sale over here. Deliveries will begin in the fourth quarter. Tech specs and exact pricing will be announced nearer the launch. So if you're in the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, and France, you can go to the XPeng website now and put your name down to register your interest. The new models use their 800-volt platform with silicon carbide semiconductors. In terms of charge speeds, in terms of C rate, which is just a multiplier of charging and discharging, it's a 5C rate. And on an LFP pack, that's very, very good. Not the fastest in the world, but you don't want to be paying for the latest, greatest technology. This is exceptionally good, though. That's a 10 to 80%. 12 minutes, maybe, right? So that's the peak charging rate of the big one, the G9. If you can find a charger quick enough, it'll take 525 kilowatts. And I'm guessing you probably can't find a charger that can take that. Now, BYD's new chargers are coming to Europe. They're megawatt chargers. And so we're going to enter a new phase this year and next year of not talking about 350 kilowatt chargers. And heck, all the cars we drive can't charge that quick anyway. We're going to start to talk about class leading figures. So rear wheel drive setup probably for the G6 in Europe. G9 will probably have rear wheel drive and all wheel drive. The G9 has a thermally insulated panoramic roof, 10-point massaging seats up front, and XPeng say they will strengthen their position in Europe's competitive EV market by offering fastest charging alongside luxury features. Now, haven't got the badge at the moment on the front to match a Mercedes or an Audi or a Mercedes. Did I say that? A BMW. But you know, they can certainly make inroads. We'll wait and see. Consumer Reports in America is urging lawmakers to stop plans for new taxes on electric vehicles. Electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids will be taxed at federal level. The House-approved bill will impose a $250 a year fee for electric vehicles. Meanwhile, one senator, Bernie Moreno, is currently campaigning to raise that to $500 per year for EVs. So if you're a 2EV household, well, you're facing $1,000 of federal taxes just for owning a clean green car. It's hard to say anything else apart from these taxes are entirely unjustified, and they're punitive penalties based on people who disagree with electric vehicles. There's no justification for them being so high. It means EV owners will pay up to 7 times more in a federal tax than the tax on gasoline. Now, senior policy analyst at Consumer Reports has weighed in on this, Chris Harto, saying they would take away the fuel savings that families expect from driving EVs. This proposal part of a wider plan to remove so many of these clean energy incentives, ending the $7,500 federal tax credit for new EVs and the used EV tax credit by the end of this year. Also cancelling emissions rules and Department of Energy loan programs for auto manufacturing. That's not grants. That's not free money. They're just loans and normally get paid back, by the way. And so, again, loans with interest can make the government money, and you cancel these things only because you have an agenda and you just want to do harm to the clean, green transition to what we're heading towards. Now, this move is inevitable, and it'll happen whether certain sets of politicians are in power or not. It'll just be the speed at which the US does it and follows Europe and China, and it'll be really sad if the US sat this one out on the benches, the sidelines, for a period of years. I think there's probably going to be a compromise reach. Well, you know, I hope that cooler heads prevail. It becomes less partisan, and that it's seen as an economic investment in US manufacturing. But we'll wait and see. The plan would also end EV battery tax credits. And so Ford warned this would threaten the $3 billion plant in Michigan. That's 60% finished. It's going to create 1,700 jobs. And these tax credits were all about incentivizing local manufacturing by US companies on US soil, and they're being removed. Now, let's talk a little bit about Lucid boosting hiring for their Saudi EV plant. Lucid Motors is ramping up hiring to support their expanded manufacturing in Saudi Arabia and their new EV platform. The company currently has 742 job openings. Wow. If you want a gig at Lucid, get that CV in. My friend, polish up your LinkedIn page. There's 742 job openings worldwide, 80 in production, 100 in service, 155 in digital systems. This hiring surge follows some layoffs in both 23 and 24. Lucid has brought in 250 former Nikola employees through their acquisition in Arizona. And the interim CEO, Mark Winterhoff, saying some of the new hires will start full production at Lucid's new Saudi plant, which aims to build 115,000 vehicles per year. At the same time, engineers are designing a mid-sized vehicle platform for three new EV models, and that's going to be the key to the next stage of growth at Lucid. The expansion comes as competition in EVs and luxury EVs grows. Lucid, of course, has the Air and the Gravity, 900-volt system, massive, massive efficiency, just about the best out there. But they need to cut through in terms of their message and marketing to get through to a wider audience, would be my take on Lucid at the moment. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and we will talk about small electric cars and the new Hyundai Ioniq 6 refresh. Stick around, back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Let's talk a little bit about going electric on the water. Chartwell Marine has finished their sea trials for their new electric trimaran ferry. And tests show it costs five times less to operate than similar diesel ferries. So if you're looking at this purely on a financial basis, much cheaper to run. They did this with the project with Southampton Solent University, which is probably about half an hour from me in that direction. You can't see me pointing right now. That was a waste of time. It began in March 2024, testing on Southampton waters. It received £1.86 million from the UK government's Clean Maritime Competition and the UK Shore Programme. This aluminium trimaran uses electric motors on submerged foils. And the three-hull design and widely spaced foil motors boost stability and control, they say. Obviously, when it rises up out of the water, it reduces hull drag as well. All done along with digital twins, so you could test it on a computer before ever having to make it. Looking forward to seeing more and more electrification in the marine world. Now, the EU automaker CEOs are calling on simple rules for small cars. Stellantis chairman John Elkann, a.k.a. the big boss of Stellantis, and the outgoing Renault CEO Luca De Meo both called for the European Union to change their rules so car makers can make small cars at a profit. In an interview in May, they pointed to Japan's K cars as a possible model. Well, K cars are lightweight vehicles. They're 35% of cars on the road, and they cost less than 10,000 euros. And there are some regulations around the size of K cars. Current EU regulations on safety and emissions and things like that make small cars quite expensive to make. Stellantis makes electric quadricycles like the Citroën Ami, but it's slow, and the old Renault CEO, who hasn't fully left yet, but announcing his resignation over the weekend, Luca De Meo said there should be different rules for small cars so Europe can compete with models like the Nissan Sakura, which is Japan's best-selling EV since 2023 and costs about 12,000 euros equivalent. If the EU adopted a system like Japan's K-car rules that had different rules for small cars, we could have more cheap electric vehicles, they say. Now, the updated Hyundai IONIQ 6 is on the market. The electric sedan now offers a driving range of 353 miles EPA. So the EPA's gone 342 to 353. Nice bump, nice boost. The new 84 kilowatt hour battery pack, same as the IONIQ 5, now in the IONIQ 6. IONIQ 6 now has the next port as standard, which is very, very good news, letting drivers use both Tesla Supercharger network and many of the new DC fast chargers going in that has J3400 as standard. While the IONIQ 6 was launched as a competitor to the Model 3 with similar pricing and features, it hasn't quite taken the Model 3 market, selling a fraction of that. But this new update does make it more competitive. Let's move on. New zero-emission vehicle registrations in the UK are up by 20%. And now we've got some data in that says UK EV sales rise even as older cars have remained on the road. If you have a look at the 2024 data for all of last year, 410,000 EVs sold, so up 3%. The average UK car is staying on the road longer, and that's a problem for moving old stock through. You see, before the pandemic, the average age of a UK car was 8 years. Now it's 10 years. By December 2024, there were 41.7 million licensed vehicles on UK roads. Zero emission vehicles now cumulatively make up 1.394 million of those. So the market share, total of the car park, as it were, 3.4%. But the AA Roads policy head, Jack Cousins, pointing out that even though EV registrations are growing, more people are keeping their older cars because of financial pressures and some changes to vehicle excise duty as well. That's the taxes we pay to the government for being able to drive our cars. I'm a case in point. We, for some reason, hang on to a 15-year-old Golf Blue Motion, which was the one that got me into EVs in the first place. Not because it's particularly green, because it was caught up in Dieselgate and I was furious at being sold what was one thing and turned out to be another. And it cost us nothing to run. Taxes, 20 quid. Insurance, because we're old and live in an okay place, is barely nothing. And it just sort of sits there. And I valued it this year. It's still worth about $3,000. Handy to have for dump runs. And I don't want to put, you know, stinky old stuff for the garden rubbish in my nicer cars. And why we keep it, I've no idea. 15-year-old car. Runs fine. I get in it, connects to my Bluetooth phone. The infotainment's kind of okay. It doesn't feel 15 years old. And that's on a 60 plate. I mean, we probably should sell it at some point. And I don't know, maybe get a newer Leaf or something that's all electric. But until that happens, it just sort of sits there and does a few miles a year and doesn't really cost anything and doesn't really break down very much. And so why we own it, I've no idea. But I would be a case of somebody hanging on to an older car and not moving it through and replacing it with an EV. Kia is next in the news, launching an optional premium in-car streaming service. Now, this is for Europe. It starts with the EV3 and then it'll go EV4, EV5 and others as well. It's a subscription-based feature that allows video streaming, but obviously when the car isn't moving. So the system uses WebOS from LG. And so you've got Netflix, YouTube, Stingray Karaoke. Haven't heard of that. Baby Shark World. I'm a little three-year-old, would like Baby Shark World. And enhanced audio is included. The service is available through Kia's Connect Store, following an industry trend of turning vehicles into entertainment spaces. Now, let's finish off by talking about Tesla. I told you about this in France recently. And that was specifically to do with the French law that says people who lease a good or leasing a car, but it's not specifically a car law, should enjoy the peaceful enjoyment of that product. And the French owners taking Tesla to court say that Elon Musk's support of the far right in Germany, appearing at the rally and his symbols and his salutes and the inauguration, they're getting, you know, intimidated, bullied. They can't have a peaceful enjoyment of their leased good, and they want Tesla to take them back. Now we go to Australia, where Aussie Tesla owners have started to describe problems with their car. But this isn't the image of the CEO. This is unintended braking on highways. And look, all of us that have driven or drive Teslas know that this happens, and I'm surprised it hasn't been more of a thing with regulators until now. Sometimes you can even predict you're going to go under a tunnel and you get sudden unintended deceleration. In other cases, you get a software update and it seems to have sorted it and it fixes it. And so some people can set their watch by it and some people don't, can go months without it happening. But it is a thing. And now in Australia, the drivers say that it's scary. It's called phantom braking by many, and often it can be shadows that just cause the system to flip out. About 10,000 Australian Tesla owners have now put their name down to join a class action lawsuit in the federal court claiming Tesla made false safety promises and performance promises. Unexpected braking, overstated battery range, and exaggerated promises of its self-driving ability. Legal action investigations are happening like this all over the world, but now Australia has joined the club, as it were. The National Roads and Motorists Association warning that ongoing technical problems can even lower the resale value of Teslas, a key reason that those seeking compensation through the lawsuit have got involved. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.